بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك، ووفقنا لما تحبه وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا وهاب يا وهاب يا وهاب، يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح، يا جبار يا جبار يا جبار. أما بعد، so this is, I wanted to share some, just a few ahadith inshallah this morning. It's called Prophetic Matrimony, 40 Ahadith on Marital Harmony. Of course, this was the harmony was the key word we had in this year's intensive. And this was a book we recently came across called Prophetic Matrimony, 40 Ahadith on Marital Harmony. So just, there's so many different collections. This was an interesting 40 Ahadith that the compiler brought together from various aspects of married life that could be bring a means of peace and harmony within the home. Because if harmony exists within these two individuals, inshallah, then harmony will exist within the other members of the household as well. So I'm going to just, there's 40 ahadith, obviously I'm not going to read all of them, just a few I wanted to go through and inshallah, you know, لا على التعيين, nothing specific, just to go ahead and read a few of them. First of the hadith, as Imam Bukhari starts his Kitab al-Sahih, Imam Nawawi starts his 40 famous collection, 40 hadith. Obviously, the first hadith is going to be on intention, so we'll go ahead and read that as well. Al-hadith al-awwal, hadithana al-humaydi, Abdullah bin Zubair. قال حدثنا سفيان قال حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري قال أخبرني محمد بن إبراهيم التميمي أنه سمع علقمة بن وقاص الليثي يقول سمعت عمر الخطاب رضي الله عنه على المنبر قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو إلى امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هجر إليه. Narrated by Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the reward of deeds depends upon their intentions, and every person will get the reward according to what they have intended. So whoever's migration was for a worldly benefit or for a woman to marry, his migration was for whatever he migrated for. Again, the reward of deeds depends upon their intentions, and every person will get the reward according to what they have intended. So whoever's migration was for a worldly benefit or for a woman to marry, his migration was for whatever he migrated for. Notes: Allah Azza wa Jal created the spouse from themselves so that they may see comfort and harmony in each other, and he created love and mercy between them. Allah Azza wa Jal says, in the 21st verse of Surah Ar-Rum, or Surah number 30, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُونُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And from amongst Allah's signs, His signs, is that He has created for you from yourselves mates, that you may find tranquility in them, and He placed between you affection and mercy. Marriage, like any other form of worship, requires the right intention in order to gain the reward from Allah. But it also needs the right intention for the bond to build and for the marriage to flourish. The intention of marriage, number one, should be to seek what Allah has made halal, to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, seeking to safeguard one's chastity, and to seek righteous children. The Prophet ﷺ advised against having the wrong intention. He said, لَا تَزَوَّجُوا النِّسَاءَ لِحُسْنِهِنَّ فَعَسَى حُسْنُهُنَّ أَنْ يُرْدِيَهُنَّ وَلَا تَزَوَّجُوهُنَّ لِأَمْوَالِهِنَّ فَعَسَى أَمْوَالُهُنَّ أَنْ تُطْغِيَهُنَّ وَلَكِنْ تَزَوَّجُوهُنَّ عَلَى الدِّينَ. Sunnah ibn Majah. Do not marry women for their beauty, any only, for it may lead them to their doom. Do not marry them for their wealth, for it may lead them to fall into sin. Rather marry them for their religion. Subhanallah. Right? So this obviously will be addressed to women as well. That make sure you're not marrying someone based on their physical appearance solely or because of their wealth or their ability or their charisma only, because these things like wealth and beauty especially may lead them to something that you don't want. It may actually become the reason for their problems. The various tafasir, you know, they have, I'm not saying some, you know, some of the tafasir that have all sorts of different reflections on the Quran. And so one such tafsir it mentions in Surah Yusuf how, you know, that Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, how much difficulty he went through, all the difficulty that he went through from being having to face jealousy of his siblings to being thrown into the pit in the well, and then everything else into slavery and so forth, all the way into the jail. He says, it comes in there that this test that came his way came because of his beauty, his charisma, his beautiful features and beautiful nature that he had. It became a means of his test. Who would have ever thought about it like that? You think that this is the most coveted thing. I wish I was the most handsome man. And everyone, I wish I was the most beautiful lady. And I wish my husband was the most handsome man. And I wish my wife was the most beautiful lady. That's the natural thing what everyone wants for themselves and their spouse. Who doesn't want that? But how often do we reflect and think that this actually could become a big test for you? Similarly, I wish I could be the wealthiest or extremely wealthy, and I wish I could marry someone who also comes from a wealthy background. That's what you and I think, that there is goodness, soul 100% goodness hidden inside money. But that's not the case. So many issues and problems arise with the abundance of wealth. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min kulli faqrin yunsini wa min kulli ghinan yutghini. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from every such type of poverty and having less which would make me forget you. Because I would be so obsessed with trying to pay the bills, so obsessed with trying to bring food on the table. I have no time for salah, working 3 shifts, 3.5 shifts, 4 shifts. Who's got time for prayer? I got to pay the bills. That level of poverty where I forget you. وَمِن كُلِّ غِنًا يُطْغِينِ. And oh Allah, that level of wealth which will make me disrespectful and will make me stand up against you, challenge you. Right? I just shared with some brothers last night, also in the night before, 4-minute clip from one of the, you know, well-known news channels. A 4-minute clip interviewing multiple pastors as their churches closed down. And I mentioned it to brothers last night in some of the groups. I said, watch it, please. It takes 4 minutes to watch it. This is, it looks exactly like the trajectory of the masjids. Right? How many they're talking about? We're talking about parishes that are closing, you know, each of them, like those blocks they have, like 900, 800 churches they have out of that, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 in the past just few years just closing down because no one shows up. It's ajeeb. Like, you know, I can send it to you after the dars here, you can search it online yourself. But it's so, like, unnerving, because it just looks to me, at least, like, okay, this is exactly what's going on. What's going on? It's a bunch of old people. So they say, well, this is our family. We love it here. But there's no one else showing up. So they're crying. They're choking up. We have to close up because we don't have anyone. This was our family. We don't have kids with us. We don't have grandkids with us. It was an old uncle and auntie's club, basically. And the old uncle and aunties are crying now because they're not going to have one another once the thing shuts down. You know what I mean? And the pastor's asked, what are you doing? He said, well, people don't have time for God. They don't think they needed God anymore. And then he specifically talks about 9/11. He's like, when 9/11 happened, the churches were filled. People were scared. People wanted God. Ajeeb. SubhanAllah. He said, now too much abundance, too much wealth, too much ease and comfort. They don't think they need God anymore. Everything's close. People are just moving, taking God and religion out of their lives. That's reflecting our own story as well, of just things just kind of falling apart, where people say, I don't need Allah Azza wa Jal. What happens when you have, money that's just flowing, when you have credit cards, when you have Amazon Prime, like we talked about yesterday, mashallah, what a beautiful reflection by Mullah Musa yesterday on the fact that marriage, people have treated it like a commodity. And, you know, I don't like it. You know, swipe left here, whatever, khalas. I'm going to, return you. I'm going to return you because everything doesn't check out. I checked you out, but I don't really like this. I don't like this. Go. What is this? What are you talking about? SubhanAllah. So the point is, when wealth comes in, abundance of wealth comes, that is also a very serious problem. The Quran mentions, Ajib, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. Whenever we intend to destroy a nation, whenever we put our focus on one nation, that this village gotta go, this society gotta go, what happens? أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. We order, we demand that the wealthy, high, upper class people, they need to start following the deen. Come on, get up, let's go. Follow the deen. You think they're going to follow the deen, upper class? فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. No. We live in the big homes. We have the big bank balances. Why should we humble ourselves? فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. So then they began to openly sin, openly disregard the sharia, openly disregard the teachings of the deen. Okay. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلِ. Then my statement comes down upon them. What's my statement? That if you disregard the deen, you're gonna taste something. فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. And then, hence, then we wipe them out completely. Right? Wipe them out completely. It starts off with the upper class. The upper class causes it, because they're the lower class is willing to listen. The upper class is not willing to listen. Because why? Because they feel like we don't need God, we don't need deen, because we've got everything. We've got pesa, we got money. Why do I need anything else? The takabbur and the ghurur and the arrogance that comes out of money. So the reason I'm just trying to say is how Allah Himself in the Quran is saying, when I want to knock a whole community out, I'm going to target the upper class. I send the prophets to them, send the people to them. Come on, wake up, wake up. And when they don't wake up, guess what? They're going to shoot themselves in the leg. They're going to bring doom upon themselves. This is the system. If you talk to the lower class, if you spend time on them, I'm just generally speaking, they've come closer to the deen. That's how Islam was. Islam started off amongst the poor. And that's one of the questions they checked out, right? The Najashi's question here is that, who are following this new prophet? The poor or the rich? Right? And when he found out that it's the more lower class, he said, okay, that's how it is. The truth, usually the lower class, materialistically humbler class, they take it on first, subhanAllah. So my point here is that abundance of wealth, abundance of beauty does not equate everything fine. You see, you have the matrimonial service going on, khidmah, the brothers spent all day, you know, yesterday working on it, last night sitting with people. I those men who are listening to me and those women, tell you, don't be foolish by making your decisions based on a complexion of the skin, by the color of the eyes. You're going to say, Shaykh, we know that. No, you don't know that. That's exactly what people do. That's exactly, I still remember vividly. A young brother, he would tell me, this is 20 years ago. He would make dua, yeah, and he would tell me, Shaykh, you know, make dua for me. I'm like, what is that? He's like, I want a blue-eyed, you know, and then he goes more details. This, that, all this type of stuff. And I'm like, okay, brother, Allah ki khazana mein kami nahi. Allah Azza wa Jal's treasures know no bounds. I have no idea, whatever you like, no problem. But can I please ask you to please add in there someone who's got deen? I used to always tell him that. He didn't have enough, you know, he didn't have enough sabr, or I don't know what to say. He just, well, how long does it take to say, Ya Allah, give me someone who's this and who's got deen? Why can't you say that? But he never did. And I witnessed this with my own eyes, this brother. He got exactly what he wanted, physically speaking. By his own admission, I don't know, he told me this, after 3-4 years. But once he got married, I also remember that day when he came to the masjid crying, even though he is a young professional a doctor, making good money. But like a child, he was crying in front of me. And he told me, I didn't know hell existed on earth. I don't want to put salt on the wounds of a man. But I'm looking at him, I'm like, SubhanAllah, you know what? You shot yourself in the leg. How many times I told you, ask for deen. But you were too stubborn and too foolish. And I don't know what else. To simply say, Ya Allah, you give me all this physical beauty, but with that, most importantly, give me spiritual beauty. How hard was that for you to ask, man? But you did. That same person who checked out physically everything, the way she disrespected him, and physically actually threw pots and pans at him, and was absolutely disrespectful to his parents also, with horrible things she would say. Eventually, of course, they split. But after a lot of heartache. And it's a great example of watch what you wish for. Watch what you wish for. Every young man, he says, I just want a dazzle of Jannah here. Every young woman says, I just want a knight on this horse. Most amazing. That's all I want. And this superficial desires of ours is going to come right back and bite us. This is where we're talking about. Don't marry men or women. SubhanAllah, what a hadith from Ibn Majah here. Don't marry them for their beauty, because that might actually become the means of them being misled. Don't marry for them for their wealth, because that what may make them disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose of nikah itself has to be grand. I was just met one of the students here. There were so many, mashallah, yesterday and even today, mashallah, so many college students. So I was telling some of the college students, I said, you should come and study. I said, yeah, when do I come study? Between undergrad and medical school, or between undergrad and this, fulan. I mean, one of the reasons you need to study is, besides, of course, learning fiqh and hadith and seerah and tajweed and aqeedah, why you believe what you believe, how to follow your deen. But one big reason you need to study somewhere quickly before you go deep into your career is so that you have a purpose and maqsad of your career. When someone says, most brothers and sisters, they don't have a maqsad, they don't have a purpose. If you ask them what you're doing, I'm going to architecture, I'm going to medicine, I'm going to law. And that is their maqsad. How can that be your maqsad of your life? Purpose of your life is your career? That absolutely cannot be. That's not how a Muslim thinks. Career can never be our purpose in life. Career can be a small tool in ensuring that our purpose in life is fulfilled. Right? So similarly, marriage is supposed to help you achieve your career, your goals in life. Marriage is supposed to be a means of achieving your goals. But you have to know what your goals are. You have to know what your goals are. If you marry someone who is not supportive for deen, but is going to push you to pull you down, they could be the most amazing, most beautiful, and so forth. But you have actually completely shot yourself in the leg, because you are marrying someone who, Allah forbid, may actually dismantle your purpose, put obstacles in your purpose. There's already enough obstacles. We got nafs and shaitan. Now you're going to add number three spouse. After that, Allah forbid, you have kids who are not raised under deen, add them as number four enemy. Inna min azwajikum wa auladikum aduwa. Indeed, some of your spouses and your children are your enemy, Allah says. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. So be wary of them. So you had enemy number one, nafs and shaitan, and two. Now I add three, spouse, and number four, now kids. Why you did this to yourself? Why did I do this to myself? Because when choosing a career, we did not have the priority of deen, then this career will become, Allah forbid, a means of hell instead of paradise. And when getting married, if the intention was not right, then this marriage itself, instead of protecting a person from haram, will actually lead a person into all sorts of haram. Because the maqsad, the purpose, is incorrect. Starts off, anywhere from just the way the weddings are going to be done. And then whatever happens every step after that. The marriage is supposed to make a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is waking up at Fajr, now he wakes up at Tahajjud. A person used to read one quarter of every other day, now he's reading one quarter every single day. A person would spend 20 minutes with his parents, now he's spending 40 minutes with his parents. Yes, every aspect of the deen, slowly but surely, if we marry the right person, we will start becoming better, and you will start seeing the better in the other person as well. Like this, this is someone who has his maqsad, his priorities correct. So that's why studying the deen is really important before marriage, ideally, and also before you get into your career. I won't say before working, I'd say before even choosing. This is our last majlis, right, of this morning. And this brothers who are from out of town will be gone tonight. And so I want to impress upon you this point, is that make sure we take on the importance of studying ilm under the guidance of ulama before we complete our college studies. Try your best. Don't finish everything. A person gets into PhD in finance and then he comes to Shaykh, I don't know what to do. I can't find halal. Right? What should I do? Right? These are things you don't wait till the end to come figure out. You start off right after high school, spend some time. Obviously, there are people much older than that. So whenever you wake up, that's the time for you. But don't delay it further. As the more quickly you engage in properly studying ilm with tarbiyah under some scholar of your community or institution anywhere in the country or over here, wherever it is, you will see that it will help you make the right decisions. Because you should have that madrasa or that institution that doesn't give you a proper crystallized vision in life, then may not be necessarily fulfilling what you're looking for. Ilm, don't seek it for the sake of it. Right? Don't seek it just for the sake of it. Okay, done. You need to seek ilm that will bring about, give you a nur of ilm that will help you know why you want to go to such and such university and why you want to take on such a career. And similarly, that ilm should also make it very clear what you want to do with marriage. Once you got that down right, then you will inshallah know how you will want to raise your kids. And ila akhiri, till then. So take time out. All the brothers and sisters, how much we've benefited, mashallah, through the suhbah of the various guest speakers who are here this weekend, and just each other's suhbah, companionship in a masjid, in i'tikaf. Alhamdulillah, I cannot imagine how many things we've learned, how many misconceptions have been removed. Inshallah, inshallah, how our approach to marriage, our approach to harmony within the home, inshallah, has improved. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But this is the beginning. Deen does not just from 3 days, but rather it's, you know, a whole life thing, but seeking ilm is a big part of that. So this is the first hadith of this book, which I'm so happy he began the book with. This is about intention, that when we are getting married, dear brothers and sisters, our intentions need to be appropriate. Do not make it just for the sake of fulfillment of one's personal, you know, needs. Like, for example, food. We can have breakfast now. Eat. Who's stopping us to eat? Eat. But how hard is it to say, Ya Allah, I am eating because you have said in the Quran, Kulu washrabu, eat and drink. And you have also said, Wala tusrifu, do not be extravagant, do not overdo it, don't overeat, don't overdrink. Ya Allah, I'm eating and drinking because my Prophet and all the Prophets did. So I'm following the Sunnah of my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and all the Prophets. Ya Allah, I am eating with the intention that you are Razaq, you are the provider. This is a blessing. Through this food, I'm going to recognize you. So I'm eating so that I can say Alhamdulillah on every bite. So that I can say Bismillah at the end. So I can recite the dua Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin at the end. So that I can thank the people who are feeding me and who are sponsoring this and or cleaning up. I can say Akala ta'amakum al-abrar. وصلت عليكم الملائكة وأفطر عندكم الصائمون اللهم أطعم من أطعمنا واسق من سقانا. May the righteous people eat your food. May the angels send salutations upon you. May the fasting people break their fast at your place. Oh Allah, feed the one who has fed us. Give drink to the one who has given us a drink. I want to be able to say this dua to my fellow brothers. Got it? And your intention is that through the food that I'm eating now, Ya Allah, I am going to do good deeds throughout the day. I'm going to pray Ishraq Salah, I'm going to pray Duha Salah, I'm going to recite my Yasin, I'm going to do my Ifkar, I'm going to be here at 10 a.m. till 6. I'm eating this food so I get the nutrition by your command, I get the nutrition to be able to sit through and seek ilm. Now you're eating croissants or you're eating crepes, or you're eating qima, or you're eating whatever. Now this became ibadah. Subhanallah, became ibadah. You heard yesterday in one of the scholars, he's mentioning How the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that going to one's spouse and being intimate, there's reward in it. And he said, how could there be reward in this? He said, well, if you went to a haram means, would there not be sin in it? He said, yes. Wow, what a beautiful deen. What a beautiful deen. How indebted you and I need to be that Allah guided us to this most amazing religion. This most amazing religion. Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. All praise belongs to Allah who guided us to this deen. Wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. We would have never been able to see, find guidance if it wasn't for Allah who guided us. We are so indebted to Islam. We're so indebted to Islam. Subhanallah. That tells us that the power of intention, that a person who gets, who's intimate with their spouse, wife with the husband, husband with the wife, in this there's ajr, there's reward, because of the power of what? Intention. The intention, subhanallah, is so amazing. So my beloved friends, we talked about last night before Maghrib, we ended the talk on this session with ikhlas. I said, bring ikhlas into our marriages, and bring ikhlas into our marriages, and our marriages will then become long lasting. But if there is marriages are done for wealth or beauty or this and that, then these things will not last. So now all those mashallah who are married now, I encourage you to make niyyah now today if you haven't done so. You might be 30, you might be 40, you might have 5 kids, you might have grandkids. Make niyyah now. Ya Allah, I make islah of my niyyah. I rectify my intention. We have already, I'm sure, inshallah, made good niyyah before. But revive it, renew it. Renew the intentions. That why am I married? That's up to you. You think about all the 10 reasons you can think of. Write 10. Like when you come to madrasa first day, where you say, take a piece of paper and write 10 reasons why you're here. And then keep it in your notebook, and every morning take a look at it. People don't even think about it. Why are you here? I don't know. I want to learn deen. I want to learn why I'm a Muslim. Okay, write that. But there's so many other things in there. Part of that is I want to become a source of sadaqah jariyah for my mom and dad. I want to become a sadaqah jariyah for my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to guide the people of my community. I want to do this. You write. I want to be able to do i'tikaf in the masjid. I want to be in a state of dhikr. I want to be whatever it is. You write it down, and now that studying ilm becomes so much more rewarding based on the multitude of intentions that you have. So similarly, I remember one of my honorable teachers in South Africa. He told me, I want to marry. He's Indian background, comes from a very wealthy family, and then he said, I want to marry a second wife. This is many years ago, 15 years ago. And I said, oh, subhanAllah. Again, then he told me, what's my intention? He said, I want to marry different Africans in South Africa from different tribes, because they have their various tribes there. And he said, how the Prophet ﷺ's each marriage was a very clear purpose, or maybe not clear to everyone, but yani historians and scholars of seerah will write that how this one marriage opened up the doors of Islam for this entire community, and this marriage opened up the doors of Islam for another community, so forth. So I want to be able to marry within the African indigenous people here of different tribes, and use that as a means to giving hidayah and guidance. He was very particular. All the counseling sessions he would do with his community, he would make sure his wife would sit there. His wife was very much involved in a lot of the counseling and so forth. And so he's like, just like I'm able to do this work through my wife, with my wife, I want to be able to give da'wah also to these tribes and so forth by being married within them, which is a very uncommon practice there, by the way. Almost never heard of. But that was what the intention he had. So similarly, whether it's first marriage or something beyond that, right? The person needs to have a very clear, high, noble intention of why they are doing what they're doing, and then you will see, my beloved friends, it doesn't mean, oh brother, if I make intention of what you just said for food, I can't enjoy the food. You can go ahead and enjoy it, take seconds if you like it, but guess what, you're getting ajr for it. If you make noble intentions now, it does not mean marriage now becomes boring because I made a good intention. No, marriage, no change in it, but what will happen, every minute of that marriage will become a source of ajr and reward. That's all we're saying. So those who are married, renew our intentions. Make lofty intentions of what you're trying to do. And those who are yet to be married, make sure we do not just make physical pleasure the criteria. Do not make physical appearance the criteria. But instead make deen the criteria, and choose and make lofty intentions of what you are trying to achieve through this. And you will see the help of Allah will come. as we sit and speak to this audience, I remind myself and I pray that the voice, the ulama who have spoken from this mic over this past weekend, both men and women, may Allah Azza wa Jalla allow their voices to be spread across the globe. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla allow the deen that was taught every day that gets taught here, let it be miraculously projected and spread across every continent across the globe. What can I do? I can make intention. As I sit and speak to a group after Fajr, whether it's 150 or 10, my niyyah should be, Ya Allah, may Allah put these words, allow it to ring true across the globe. I don't need to start speaking all of a sudden louder. I don't need to add 7 more mics. But Allah's help will come based on the loftiness of the intention. Seriously, if you want an amazing marriage, make lofty intentions. And you will see what will happen. SubhanAllah. So, there's yani, so many things that we can ask Allah for, and this is, we say, Allah put barakah in the rest of our day today, and rest of the week today, the rest of the week of this end of this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I have said, may Allah allow me to practice it myself, and whatever everyone has said here, may Allah allow us to benefit from that. Again, this was called Prophetic Matrimony, 40 Hadith on matrimonial harmony, and I'm just going to go over the titles for it, just for you might be interested. This is just a book. It's printed in Turkey. So this was intention, following the sunnah, committing to spouse, loyalty to spouse. Spouse is the best provision. Good to one spouse, to sense spouse's feelings, respecting spouse's nature, not to dislike one spouse, not to give up one spouse, be considerate towards one spouse, going out of the way for one spouse, giving gifts to one spouse, being pleased with one spouse, helping spouse with chores, comforting one spouse, motivating one spouse, making spouse feel good, treating spouse as oneself, eating with one spouse, sharing food with one spouse, ila akhirih. And it's not, it's both. It's how Rasulullah was with his wife, how his wife was with Rasulullah. Right, so it's something that's not a one-sided thing. People can actually, regardless of that, can, you know, benefit. So there's this one, this 40 hadith, and there's another famous hadith collection by Mufti Muhammad ibn Adam Kothari. That's also available now. Also his own collection of 40 hadith on this topic. Let's conclude the dhikr and dua.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, 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 لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم 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 استغفر الله 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 الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء أن عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي فيها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين وانصر المستضعفين من المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا Oh Allah, we ask you to accept this gathering, accept every majlis, every talk that we had here in the past 2 days. Ya Allah, make this all weighty in our scales. Oh Allah, allow us to benefit tremendously from the khair and the good that was shared. Oh Allah, protect us all from any mistakes that were mentioned or mistakes that were done. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, to allow the future to be far better than our past. Oh Allah, allow the future to be far better than our past. Oh Allah, please do not allow our past sins to haunt us. Do not punish us for what we have done in the past. Oh Allah, please forgive us for all the major and minor sins we have committed in the past. Oh Allah, allow us to turn a new chapter in our life. And allow us to start, Ya Allah, on a good note, Ya Allah, following the deen and the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in all aspects of our life. Oh Allah, reward our volunteers, reward our patrons and well-wishers, reward Ya Allah, all the coordinators and on the men and the women's side who have been tirelessly working for many months and many weeks and now for the past days have been barely sleeping, Ya Allah, as they continuously wake in the early morning from breakfast to, Ya Allah, dinner, Oh Allah, and then afterwards cleaning the masjid and making this place available for our students. Oh Allah, we ask you to reward each and every one of these volunteers, Ya Allah, immensely from your treasures. Oh Allah, all those who've come here with the intention of learning how to improve their marriage, allow their marriages, Ya Allah, every one of theirs to become extremely better. Oh Allah, allow all those who wanted to learn how to become a better partner in their home and how to bring harmony within their home, allow everyone's homes to change and allow them to be filled with harmony. Oh Allah, all those who came here looking for a spouse, Ya Allah, allow all of them for the doors to be open for them to be filled, to find, Ya Allah, genuinely a loving, caring, God-fearing, Ya Allah, spouse. Oh Allah,
whatever fulfill whatever righteous permissible desires we all have and needs we have, we ask you to fulfill them. We ask you, Allah, do not hold us accountable for our past sins. Do not punish us for them. Oh Allah, forgive us for that and allow our sins to be replaced with good deeds. Allah, wherever the ummah, including in Gaza and in Yemen, Ya Allah, in Bilad al-Sham and in Sudan and in Afghanistan and all different parts of the globe, Ya Allah, the men and women are suffering, Ya Allah, in their homes, in dungeons, in prisons, Ya Allah, or in the battlefields, wherever they may be, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant safety and security to all them. And Ya Allah, those who passed away or are passing away, grant them the most highest levels of Jannat al-Firdaus and accept their shahada and martyrdom, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen wa jazakumullah khaira wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we can proceed downstairs for breakfast. And then again, 10 o'clock, inshallah, the program will continue.